55 degrees for us here this morning. Joining me on the phone from Washington, D.C., she's not enjoying all this beautiful, warming weather that we have, is House Representative Cynthia Lumpas. Thanks for joining me on the phone this morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Kent. It sounds like you're having some thunder showers.
Oh, boy, it's an everyday occurrence. I'm beginning to think that we've actually moved Wyoming to Washington, state of Washington, because it's been cloudy, rainy every day, not very warm, just kind of un-June-like for us.
But the green is such a welcome change. Oh. I just drool over it every time I come home.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Well, if the sun ever comes out, I think things are turning yellow because we don't get any sun lately. but the reservoirs are filling up. We're getting that water. Maybe we're, you know, slowly working out of that drought we've been in for a lot of years.
Absolutely. You'll get no complaints from me.
No, I don't think we're getting a lot of complaints from few corn farmers are having some complaints because they don't get any sun, but it'll soon be sunny again. But
absolutely right.
Hey, tell us what I know you've been busy out of Washington D.C. right now, and I know you're going to be joining us next week. I know down at Green River and Rock Springs for our broadcasters convention. But tell us some of the issues going on out of Washington D.C. right now.
Well, the two big things on our plate right now are cap and trade, which is the Democrats' national energy tax. That is front and center on the House side. On the Senate side, front and center is health care reform. And, of course, our U.S. Senator Mike Enzi is right in the middle of that issue, along with John Barrasso, who's a physician. So we all have our hands full right now.
Sounds like it. Anything, I know it's been a battle year after year after year with health care reform. Is there any light at the end of that tunnel? You think? I mean, it's going to take a lot of work, right?
Senator Enzi was really optimistic about coming up with a bipartisan bill until last Friday, and that was when the president sent a letter saying he wants a federal government health care option. Well, we all know, and all of the studies back here show, that a national health care option will not be an option. It will become mandatory because it will be so expensive for private insurance providers to compete with a subsidized federal plan.
That's very true. On the House side, I know you've been working on what you guys have been working on. Any upcoming things before I know you guys go on a break?
Well, even this afternoon in the Agriculture Committee on which I serve, we're having a hearing on the cap-and-trade legislation.
Okay.
That's the Democrats' national energy tax. And the reason we're having it is my committee chairman, Colin Peterson, who is from Minnesota, has publicly opposed the bill. So Speaker Nancy Pelosi has allowed him the opportunity to hold a hearing. We won't be marking up the bill, unfortunately. We won't have opportunity to amend it, but we will have a hearing, and it will give us a chance to point out the dramatic negative effects on agriculture of that bill. So we're going to be starting this afternoon in about 90 minutes. He thinks that it's going to last till 8 p.m. here, Wyoming time, so I will be submitting my comments during the debate on twitter.com/CynthiaLummis. For anybody who Twitters out there, they can follow the debate. So that would be at noon Wyoming time.
I'm pretty computer literate a little bit, but I haven't got hooked into this Twittering thing yet like you guys have back east.
Well, you know, the new media requires us to participate every way we can.
Well, that's
with
great.
Media.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So, of course, we're talking to you now on radio, which is my favorite medium, only because I'm accustomed to it, I'm comfortable with it, and then newspaper and television, which I'm less comfortable with. But all these new forms of media, like YouTube, internet communications of all times, including Twitter, are now part of our repertoire here. And my press secretary, Ryan Taylor, who is a native of Rawlins, is fortunately savvy and of the age where it seems easier to be savvy with these technologies. So he is dragging me into the new means of communication. I'm actually enjoying it. We Twittered through the entire budget debate because I'm also on the budget committee. And 40 amendments, 14 hours of debate. I Twittered through that, and it was fun, so we're going to try it again this afternoon.
Sounds good. So once again, that address is, what is it again, Cynthia?
It is twitter.com/CynthiaLummis.
Okay, all right.
Or slash. I guess you call it. Excuse me, right, dash is runs horizontally, slash runs vertically on the diagonal. It is a slash.
Okay.
See, I'm not even up to speed on this stuff.
Ryan will get you all figured
Thank
out.
Thank goodness for Ryan.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, light us on, I know with radio and everything, I guess, when it comes to us, what can you tell us or tell me about, or maybe my folks out there that probably don't even know too much about it, about the performance tax that that artists want to impose on radio? Any light on that?
You know, I would argue that it's probably not the performers that are pushing this, although it's viewed as a performance tax. It's probably the recording studios. And they've seen a change in their business model as a result of new technologies and new forms of communication. So they are trying to impose on small local radio stations additional fees to run the performances, the records, as we used to call them, on the air that you play. And it will impair your business model. I know that especially for small Wyoming broadcasters who are keeping local people informed about news, weather, and local sports and activities, it really impairs their ability to function profitably. And why in this economy of all times we would want to impair small businesses from functioning profitably is beyond me. So yeah, I'm very much opposed to that piece of legislation.
We sure appreciate it. And I know with the way the economy is right now, it's kind of spooky.
It's very spooky. Yeah. Even those of us here in Washington who are watching things like Treasury note rates, which are not exactly the first thing everybody runs to see in the morning in Wyoming, and I don't blame them, it's frightening. It's of concern because we've taken on too much debt, we're spending too much, we're taxing too much, and I'm here to reduce spending, to sound the alarm that if we do not reduce the size of the federal government and we do not empower local businesses in our various communities all over this country with lower taxes or flat taxes and less economic restrictions, which are being imposed on things like this national energy tax cap and trade, that we're really sending our country down a deep, deep hole.
Cynthia, do you see a light at the end of this tunnel?
Only if we, the people of the United States, stand up and turn this thing around. We need to hear from people in Wyoming. And not only in my office, in Mr. Entsi's office, Mr. Brasso's office, call people from elsewhere in the country who you know are voting for this reckless spending and this never-ending debt and say, you're wrong. You need to think about Americans that are feeding their families, turning on light switches, creating jobs, want affordable health insurance. You're not thinking about us when you vote for this reckless government growth. It is generational theft. It is taking away from our children and grandchildren right now because things we want right now, not things we need. And I couldn't more strongly want to convey that message, Kent, because it is very discouraging given this runaway $1 trillion spending here, $1 trillion spending there. My gosh, we've never seen anything like this.
I know the spending's got to stop, else we're going to just find ourselves deeper and deeper in a hole, aren't we?
Oh, and the debt that we're accumulating right now is more than George Washington through George W. Bush combined. That's not just some specious internet rumor that's going around out there. It is true. Our debt that we're racking up by virtue of these Democratic policies, these liberal policies, place more debt on Americans than George Washington through George W. Bush combined. We are tripling the debt in 10 years. It is absolutely unconscionable if we don't stop it.
What do we need to do with the, I know everybody, and I know it's affecting us a little bit because some of the dealerships and everything were closed in the state. The auto industry, it was good news that they allowed Fiat to buy Chrysler and get them out of bankruptcy yesterday. But what else do we need to do for the auto industry?
We need to get government out of it.
Right. Well, I agree there.
They're picking winners and losers. They're
right.
Taking profitable dealerships, people who paid for their franchise to run either a GM dealership or a Chrysler dealership, and they're just taking it away from them. That's a property right. You know, if it were me, I'd be hunting for a good lawyer to bring suit. But unfortunately, Americans shouldn't have to through their own government.
Right.
This is unreal that we are actually taking property away from our fellow Americans.
And we're losing lots of jobs out there, and there's more and more people going without jobs, and, you know, I guess I know we're running a little short of time. I know you have to go back on the floor, but what do we need to do to create more jobs in the United States to get this economy back on track?
We need to either not raise taxes
right.
or reduce taxes.
Mm-hmm.
We need to prevent cap and trade from taking effect, and we need to produce more American energy. That means that we cannot pass things like putting fracturing technology for oil and gas development under the Safe Drinking Water Act. It means that we cannot take away deductions for intangible drilling costs. Businesses of all kinds get to deduct their intangible business costs. We cannot prevent access to federal land. 77 leases were just withdrawn in Utah when this administration took effect. We must be able to produce oil and gas off the coast of the Gulf of Mexico and California, and we must have more nuclear energy. We also need a health care policy such as Mike Enzi worked carefully with for years in the United States Senate to create, something that is private sector driven but that solves obvious problems that we have with our health care insurance and provider system. And we must make sure that rural hospitals and rural physicians are reimbursed for their services at the same rates as urban physicians. Otherwise, we won't have medical services available for Medicare patients. So much to be done, but much can be done. We know what we need to do right. So the fact that we keep getting it wrong here in Washington is disappointing, it's disconcerting, but it makes us more vigilant, and we have to redouble our efforts.
All right. Well, Cynthia, I appreciate the time this morning, and I'm looking forward to visiting with you again next week down in Rock Springs and Green River, and join us for a luncheon next, I believe it's next Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll see you there, Kenton. Thank you for inviting me to that, and I'll look forward to updating you further on what's happening in Washington.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate that, Representative Lummis, and we'll be visiting with you again next week.
Thanks,
okay.
And take care, Platte County.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.